Good morning, recorded folks. Sorry, I just handed out a bunch of stuff. We are on our hero's journey. How many of you have never heard of The Wizard of Oz? Okay, one person. Okay. No, and that's all right, because the movie came out in 1939. So that was a long time ago, and then those of us were born in, 1940. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, it's about a girl who, what? What does she want? What is she looking for?
Home.
But isn't she home to start out with?
Yeah.
Absolutely. So this is your typical quest. There's like 20 plots. If you're a writer, there's 20 plots that you follow. This is the basic quest, where the character wants to leave home. And what does she want to leave home for?
Escape
the Wicked Witch.
Something better,
because the first part of the movie is in black and white, and they show a very dreary, black and white, dreary. You see a couple tumbleweeds make their appearance, and it's drab, it's dismal. There's this lone girl with her dog, and she goes to see what? It was a magician at the time, the Carney magician. This is still in black and white. So she's looking for something, and then she goes on her adventure. We're going to talk about the first part. So when you look at your road picture, I want you to look at those roads. And there's on backs, front and back. And I want you to circle the road you feel you are on right now. And if you can't find the exact replica, you can add a couple words to the one you think is close.
Do we have any new people that just walked in and don't have a packet? I know I've got one for sure.
Yeah. Well, try to narrow it down to your topmost row. But yeah, if you want to put kind of a secondary circle, yes, exactly. Yes, with anything with rules here, you can do it. Or I should say modify it. Make you. Okay. So as we talked about emergence, so you have an index card with you as well. We're going to kind of do two parts right now.
Yeah,
we've index card.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm thinking
of
the one
because
they use.
That's part of it. Anybody else need an index card? Going once, twice. Okay. All right. So, you've got your road, and you're looking at your blue sheet that has separation, initiation, and return. And separation is really looking at what do you want to separate yourself from? Who do you want to separate yourself from? And I want you to think, I'm going to read a story that I got from July 2018, Lifeline. And if anybody wants to take a snap of any of these articles that I read to you or whatever, and I'm going to read from many pieces of literature, let's see. I have to look at copyright stuff. So we will talk about that, and I can direct you to WSL. Anyway, presently...
We're just functional back here. We've watched you. We don't even know what we're doing.
All right. No, I want you to listen right now. Thanks so much. Great. Okay. So we'll just start here, because we're going to talk about separation. Presently unchained. The OA program encourages us to live one day at a time. To me, that also says live in today. I heard a cute story about a man who was dragging a chain behind him on the sidewalk. Another man asked him, "Why are you dragging that chain?" To which he replied, "Well, have you ever tried pushing one of these things?" How does this relate to living in today? If I had not learned how to let go of the past through step work and OA, I would not know how to lay down the chains of my own past. The first edition of the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous says on page 83 that the first 9 steps are primarily intended to help us clear up are accumulated debris of the past. Emphasis mine. The new 12 of 12 second edition says that once we have made a beginning on an entirely new way of life, step 10 calls for daily repetition of the actions we took in the first 9 steps. That's pages 69 to 70. If after completing steps 1 through 9, I do not take a 10-step personal inventory each day and admit and correct my wrongs, I will drag the chains of past issues with me into each new day. If I continue to avoid inventory and corrective actions, those chains will get longer and heavier each day as I drag hurts, resentments, and anger from the past into today. Similarly, if I try to live in the what-ifs of the future, not staying in today, I will be trying to push the chain. It seems to me that pushing a chain is impossible, just as worrying about my future will not have much effect on what actually happens in the future. Looking back on my life, I find that most of the things I contemplated, worried about, or anticipated for the future never happened, which for the most part I can say, thank God. How many of you awfulize in your brain? I do. So I'm glad those things don't happen. If I'm not agonizing over the past or anticipating the future, I have so much more physical, mental, emotional energy to live, really live in today one day at a time. So with that, when we come here, we are separating ourselves from something or someone. What's the most obvious? Food, but not all food. What about the food do we want to separate ourselves from? Our overeating, our undereating, trying to control it, and the obsession. Obsession. And so on our hero's journey, we have one thing we want to separate ourselves from, meaning just to move beyond. Not that we have to forget. Because I know we hear forgive and forget, and I have different thoughts on that. There's a time you forgive and you say, hey, you know what, I'm really sorry. Bygones be bygones. Forgive, forget, I don't remember. Then there's forgive, and if you do that again, we're going to have some different kind of words. And then if you do that again, I might say, bye-bye, we're done. And then there are those, I forgive, and I forget in a different way. It's not on the forefront of my mind, it's just in my history. Because if I completely forget, I might repeat that again with that same kind of person. So just know that's my definition. And so when I talk about separation from, it's a way of living. Because the hero's journey that we're doing, this is about who we are without that obsession and compulsive eating behaviors. That's what I came into these rooms for, really. I was tired of being angry Meg, and shameful Meg, and wounded Meg, and traumatized Meg. But all that's valuable. I had to have that to come in here and what to heal from. And because everybody's concept of a higher power is different, we all have different thoughts about why we're here today. I'm just meaning today that we're all here for a reason. We're all here to learn and love from each other to the best of our ability. And that we all are vulnerable and we all have foibles in our life. And I love hearing about people's foibles, because then I can feel on top of. No, I'm just kidding. So I can feel what? Pardon? Foibles, like your mishaps, your mistakes. Yep, thank you. All right, so I would like you on your blue sheet now, looking at your path. What do you want to separate yourself from? For who? So think about, is it job? Is it people? Is it... you know, anything that is not working for you in your life anymore. We have an action plan. Do we need to look at our amount of, let's say, movement? Exercise kind of has one of those tangy words. What about spending? Screen time. Zoning out on stuff, chronic disorganization. I'm talking about all those things I've dealt with. So, I mean, if you happen to have some of those, then you can join me. I was in debt. $35,000 in debt. And it was growing. I even owed the IRS. I don't really want to owe the IRS, but I did. And then finally, you know, took a personal inventory. But again, that's part of my OA program. Because there was a lot of food I bought and all of that. There was a lot of other stuff, too. And there was also unemployment involved in there and all those other things. But it's all, I am my totality. I was looking for that perfect thing. So what do you want to separate yourself from? And it's not like I'm going to have you, you know, when I have you share in groups and stuff, please know, and I know you know this, but I just want to say it, share what you feel comfortable sharing. Because I'm going to have you mixed with different people each time. And if it is certain kinds of food, I remember in several years, I knew I had to give up caffeine. And I prayed and prayed and prayed and talked and talked and talked and obsessed and obsessed and obsessed because you know, we do that well. And finally I said, all right, God, I'm ready. And I really felt ready, even though I was nervous because what's on the other side? I needed caffeine to keep me ramped. So I gave it up. And I, you know, I was off, you know, artificial sweeteners at that time. I got off that in 2006, and then in 2007, I decided, because I drank an unsweetened iced tea, coffee, all of a sudden I was drinking coffee again. You know, I bring a big thermos, and yeah, I mean, why not? Do everything in hugeness. So I gave it up. And so it's been, what, 12 years now? And every now and then, I, you know, long for it. And it's like, I already know where it's going to take me. So that was something I had to give up. And it wasn't like it was interfering with my abstinence, so to speak, but it was messing with my natural biological rhythm. It's like if I need, and this is me, if I needed caffeine to get XYZ, AA, BB, ZZZ done, maybe I was fitting in too much in my day. And for me, it's like, well, if I got a lot of things done, and I got a lot of check marks, and I got a lot of A's, and I got a lot of good girl, then guess what? I'm okay. And coffee was really telling me I was okay. So I had to not only separate myself from caffeine, but I had to separate myself from that thought that was attached to it. All these external to-dos is going to give me a star. In my family, the only way I could get out of the hell was to work. So I know how to work. I know how to get in there and get that job done. Play, I have to find play buddies because I'm not a leader in play. And it's cool, I have a younger sister who's really good at play. So I'll be like, okay, what are we going to do? And when I visit my siblings in October, we're going to go on a trip. I mean, we're just going to be together and tour one of the states. And I know there'll be some playfulness there, which I'm glad. And sometimes, you know, I kind of want to be in control of that. But I'm going to zip the lip. I wish there was a way I could visibly, you know, have one. Of course, they probably want to padlock it and padlock it around my head, padlock it around underneath my arms. But anyway, so put your separation. On your white card on the front, whatever your font is, I want you to write the word emergence. On the index card, emergence. How you are going to emerge.
The lined side or the unlined side?
Whatever it is, your front side. I'm going to let that be. I know what my front side is. Okay, so emergence. How do you want to emerge? What is it that you hope will be born? Like a phoenix. It's going to come out of the rising of who you are. And it's your rising. Again, this, you know, this isn't going to be on reality TV. Thank goodness. I'm so glad, seriously, that reality TV was not a thing when I was in my group because I could never live that down. you know, I look at social media today where everything is forever.
We're looking for our card and we missed that last year.
All right, emergence. Who do you want to emerge? What do you emerge? You want to rise out of yourself, to be your best self. What do you hope will come out of this weekend?
So you write all of that, not just the word?
Correct. You write your what you want to emerge. Like I asked you to think about last night. Who do you want to be when you come out of this meeting? Now, you may not be that immediately Sunday at noon. It might be 12:01 for some of you slow starters. But as you go forth. I want to emerge being less doubtful of certain things in my life. And what that will look like to me, to be less doubtful, is not to be such a perfectionist. Being a perfectionist, working towards perfection on some things is very important. You look at Olympic people, they practice and practice and practice. It's important. That's what they're going for. If you do something at work and it's an important presentation, you're going to give it your best. And then you call it done. Done enough. Good enough. It's that overkill I think I need to do, where it's almost become an obsession. I have to do these 6 things. Or I have to triple check instead of, well, it's going to go however it goes. Trusting myself. If it's cleaning up your kitchen and making it more food ready. I mean, I remember going through my kitchen when I got absent and looking at all the food that was like, wow, I'm going to have to throw this away. All of a sudden, I was sad about throwing food away. But I would buy really good food and it would grow beards and whiskers in my refrigerator. And then that would justify that I could throw it away, right? Because I have icky stuff in there. But it didn't come into the refrigerator that way. But I cleaned out closet, you know, cabinets and hidey holes and all that. Of course, I've been blessed. I live alone. But, yeah. I look at the history. And then all of a sudden, I have 2 food scales. I do weigh and measure my food just because my first nutritionist said, you know, you have to have 4 ounces of this and half a cup of that. Well, I'm sorry, but 4 ounces is a mixing bowl. Until I learned what it really looks like. And, oh, it's like, oh, hmm. So I just don't trust myself on that. I mean, now I can modify or whatever, but I brought some extra things to fortify me this week, and if I needed to, it's all measured. So I don't have, so when the bag is empty, the meal is done. That's what has helped me. I did my first 2.5 years. But, you know, what do you need to do? What do you separate yourself from? It's your thoughts. It's what you think you should need to be. Okay. So I'd like you in your big white envelope. And so you can put your other stuff back in the envelope. We will come back to it at a later time. Bless you. And you're going to have an envelope that's this size. And you would pull that out. Yes, the mid-sized one. Because there's one that's long and one that's teeny. The mid-sized one. All right, everybody have it? Okay. Keep digging. It's in there. You're all going to have different colors. And there's a reason for that. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. All right. There will come a time where you will come back and you will find same colored envelopes. And then you will share whatever it is you want to with this plan. Anybody have any questions so far? Because I'm going to set you free. Pardon? you'll come back together and you'll share with your envelope color. So I'll be with all the light blue people, for example. All the light blue.
So if we have a different color,
then you'll meet with those people.
So
if you're pinks, you'll meet with the pinks. If you're like an orange, you'll meet with the orange. I think some people have gray. Some people have green. Purple. Yellow.
Blue.
I think there's dark blue and light blue, but anyway, blue. So that's how I'm going to have you. So because part of my plan is that you meet other people. We love to stay near our familiars, but we also get to learn new things from other people. All right. So I want you to take out what's inside the envelope, and you're going to see 12 cards. And this is going to help you with your separation and emergence process. So in each of these cards, I have verbs that I correspond to the 12 steps. But I didn't put a step number on there. Some of them, you know, probably think, well, yeah, that's obvious or whatever. But I wanted to go down a more nonlinear path. And so if you find the card admit, for example, I want you to write something that you had to admit to in this program other than your obsession with food. I want us to go beyond the food because we are more than just the food. So what did I have to admit about myself coming into this program? I admitted I was a very angry person, and that I thought my happiness was dependent on others behaving a certain way. That was a thought pattern. I had to admit it did not work for me anymore. Your admittance might be something completely different. You're going to do, it's all in here. I'm just saying admit. I'm going to give you an example for each of these, and you're going to fill out something for each of these. On your own. You don't have to do it right this minute because I'm going to give you time to do this. In fact, I'm going to give you time and space. I'm going to tell you when I want you to come back into the room. So if you need to go to your room, you need to go outside of the portal of prayer, you need to go out into the areas. But that's what I want you to do. Is have some time. Yes.
But we're not on a specific card right now.
Correct. I'm just giving you examples of all 12 cards, but you will. I just want to give examples just to get ideas going. You do not have to follow along with me.
Okay.
All you have to do is hear. Yes.
You said admit something when you came in, what if you came in a long time ago and something's different now? It doesn't matter.
Anything from your past that you want to, that you've already admitted,
okay. That
you've already done. Thank you. Any other questions?
So please don't have to actually relate to a given step. You don't have to figure out.
No. No. Thank you. And that's it exactly. Because I want to see you pull from the wisdom you have inside. Okay, 3 weeks. Okay, no, and that's great. I will sit with you. I will sit with you for a while when we break in. Okay, thank you. Anyone else who's really new? Thank you for coming. Wow. Okay, so maybe we'll pull some chairs over here so I can spend some time. Thank you. All right, so when we come into this room, we know we have a thing with food. But there's also other stuff that has gone on in our life. Because we use food to cope with it. They said, I cope with a traumatic, wounded family who was wounded by their parents and so on and so forth. We've got many generations. So we got that down. And I came in angry. I also came in stubborn in a way that was not helpful to me. Stubborn can be good in other things. We know that. Anger is good if someone is going to harm you. You need the anger to fight or flight, whatever. But I'm talking about admitting something that no longer served you that you were able to walk through and get, whether you're new to this program or not. The other one is shatter. These are the words I'm going to go through all 12. You get to do it whatever order you want when I give you time. Shatter. I had to shatter my concept of a higher power I grew up with. I grew up with a white dude with a beard who always looked at me and said, "Hey, you're such a disappointment. You are such a disappointment." Now, I was raised in a religion. I'm glad for the side rails. But that higher power that I grew up with no longer worked for me. And in some ways, early on, when I was looking at this, it felt shattered to me because I felt like I was, what, lightning was going to come down and strike me, that I was somehow going to get in a car crash and all of a sudden be bedridden for the rest of my life. I mean, there's all those fears. And then it was like, but then what is on the other side? I didn't know. And is it okay to explore? Well, yeah, in these rooms I've learned, yes, we do. We get to come in and create and work with and discover a higher power for us. There's nothing in here that says it has to be like this. Thank goodness. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. Surrender. I had to surrender. So the second time I came into program, I had to surrender. I didn't have my act together. I decided to really find a sponsor and help me walk through all this stuff. I'm not going to do this on my own. My next one was inventory. Okay, one of my inventories, I was chronically disorganized. I always had stuff all over my house. And I felt shame around that. It's terrible. Why can't I get it together? Why can't I just get it together? And I still have areas, but again, I got help. You know, that's what the action plan's for. Confide. I had to learn how to confide. I had to find safe people to confide in. Now, I'd confide to people about my eating, and I would look for those people who would rightfully shame me. I remember I went to this skinny secretary, also when I was a teacher, and I said, "How do you manage your snacks?" She goes, "Well, I get just a little bag of cereal, you know, a little bag, snack bag." I'm like, my snack bag was just lift the whole wax bag out of that box. And that's just the aperitif, you know, then you have to have your chaser and whatever else. But, I went to all the wrong people. Or I go to people who tell me, "Well, now you just need to do 72,000 sit-ups and 49 push-ups. And, you know, hang from your toes and swing your arms wildly or whatever. Or have a yogi master, you know, lift you up like a side of beef and blow out the wall." Confide. Oh, prepare. Well, I had to prepare. I had to learn how to get things ready. Instead of always being disorganized, I had to learn how to really work with my money instead of treating it like it was going to bite me in the throat. Or I carried on the message I grew up with. There's never enough money, and if you're rich, you're evil and egotistical. And it's like, I've met many people who have lots of money, and the people I meet are extremely generous. And you know what? They don't underemploy themselves. You know, it's not like they run around and rob banks. You know, they live their life with confidence. And so I had to learn those things. And I couldn't hide from it. And like I said, I paid all my debts back. And thankfully, I am still debt-free after 19 years, one day at a time. List. What did I need to list? I needed to list to keep up my house, my finances. So every week I would put how much I owed and how much I had saved. And I watched all the credit card numbers go down and the IRS go down and the medical bills go down. And then I had a little savings account. And then I did work around that too, which I, you know, if you want to know more, you can always find me at break and all those things. I'll share that. And the other thing was, too, at that time, as I was getting out of debt, I wanted to buy a house. I bought a house for the first time at 45 because I finally had money to do so. And I made adjustments so I could do that. And again, by doing all of these things, what happens? The food loses the spotlight. When I'm doing all the hard stuff, I'm doing all the stuff that I really want to do in my life, you know, it's either a Twinkie or I'm going to have money in the bank. I'd rather have the money in the bank. Because I've had so many of those, I'll glow in the dark. Far after I'm cooked in the oven. So, and then amend. I had to make things right. So we know, and what things did I need to make right? You know, one of them was, there was a coworker I worked with when I was at the height of my last stint with food, and we shared an open queue. She worked for the president, and I worked for, you know, the vice president of operations. She worked on her computer. She'd work for 4 hours, and then the other 4 hours, she'd play solitaire or do crossword puzzles. I was irate, didn't even cover it. I was vicious. I talked about her behind her back. You know, I hated her because, and I look back now, and it's like, well, her boss didn't give her anything to do, and her boss also told her, you need to be right here, so when I need you, you need to be right there, and didn't give her enough to do. I was horrid to her, absolutely horrid, but I was able to make amends to her, the best that she was able to take, the best she was able to take. And then sustain, all right? What are you doing to sustain something that is good for you? Are you making difficult phone calls? You know, I'm paying my bills on time. I'm also being of service in meetings. I'm being a recovery buddy. I'm being a good recovery buddy. And I also have my own recovery buddies that I lean on. And I'm doing what I can so that I'm sharing a good message. Because, you know, we are all the face of OA. We all are, whether we want to be or not. And reflection. How do I or you show up each day? Do I go into work angry, frustrated, or do I go into work thinking, how am I going to give my best today? If I feel I'm underpaid, is that really true? Am I doing the work? Am I reflecting on the fact, am I doing the work that I need to get to where I want to be? And if I want more, am I doing that? So I have a great boss, a really great boss. And I started out my job as a contractor, and, you know, my experience being a contract employee, you're kind of like a rental, kind of like a plug and play. You know, you come in, you do your job, they say, Meg, I want you to do A, C, D, E, F, G. Okay, I do that, do it quick. And then I go home at the end of the day, and that's great. Then I became an employee. And all of a sudden, just doing a more task-focused job is not that engaging to me anymore. So I had to go to my boss and ask her, and you know what? I was nervous about it. Because I had old tapes in my head. See? You want more. Who do you think you are to want more when you are blessed with so much? That's old stuff. So I had to reflect, how am I going to show up when I ask her something that's difficult for me to ask? So I talked to fellows. I even talked to a couple of colleagues. I have a corporate sponsor. And I talked to her about it. She's like, well, I never thought about this and this. And that's because I went back to admitting I was angry and that everyone else was responsible for me. I took responsibility for me. So I talked to my boss. I explained, I love what I do, blah, or, you know, all the things that's important, and I appreciate this, et cetera, but this is no longer as challenging as I'd like in my life. I would like to do these special projects, and you've given me a couple already, and I realized, boy, this is really fun. And she said, oh, well, you know, I was ready then. It's a good thing you brought that up now, because we're talking about headcount and what kinds of things in the future, and we are looking for someone to do some special projects and so on. And I said, put my name in, me. And she laughed. I mean, you know, I sounded like I'm 12. And we'll see where it goes. But I did my part. I did my reflection. I based on my fear. I did it anyway. Because, again, if the time passed and it was given to someone else, guess what? That leaves me with a big, fat resentment. And then inspire. How do I work with others? And that can be as simple as a phone call. It doesn't mean that you have to get up and do the service I'm doing today. That may or may not be your calling. But it's how we inspire others, and it doesn't have to be just OA people. I don't know about you, but I interact with other people as well. You know, I think there's, you know, quite a few people I work with. They all know I'm, I mean, my core knows I'm in program, because then they see me whip out my lunch every day and they're like, oh, that's a lot of tomatoes. Yeah, I know. But really, it's not. I could eat twice as many, but I measure. No, anyway. But this is what I'm trying to avoid. So when I went to World for, what was the second time? And this is the other thing. We get to meet people from all around the world. I mean, it's so wonderful to go to WSO. So how many of you have been to WSO in person?
Okay. World
Yes, thank you, Barb. And World Service Organization, and you have a chance to be a world delegate. So if you get a chance to join your inner group and learn, you meet people larger than your meeting. And then you can go to region, which is larger than your inner group. It's a whole bunch of inner groups getting together, the inner group reps. And world is a delegate. You become a delegate. And you work on committees. Well, I needed a sponsor, and there was a trustee there, and she was very funny and very smart and scared the bejesus out of me. But somehow I felt called to ask her to be my spirit sponsor, because I just felt I needed more spirituality in my life. So I told my roommate, I said, okay, I'm going to go up and I'm going to ask her to be my sponsor. And she goes, well, Meg, you sound like you're scared. And I go, well, yeah, I am. What if she says no? And she said, oh, yeah, you'll die. And so anyway, I was just nervous because, well, what is it? You're vulnerable, right? And you want that person to say yes, and you hope they say yes and all of that. So at 4 o'clock, there's a room called the boutique, and all the regions bring things that the region share sells, like the journal and, you know, a bunch of other things. It's 4 o'clock on the Saturday, which is the last full day we're together. We have a banquet at night, and the room's going to close. I walk into the room, and she walks in with me. It's just the two of us in the room. I chicken out. So we're at the banquet, and I'm sitting there, and my friend says, wow, did you say anything? And I said, no, I'm totally a waste of skin. I said, I went in the room, she was there. We talked for like, you know, 2 or 3 minutes looking around or whatever. And I said, I blew my chance. And she goes, oh. She goes, I see your second chance walking by. So she's walking by, and I'm like charging to keep up with her. And I'm like, hi, my name's Megan. She goes, okay, I am going to the bathroom, so you follow me. All the way, I said, hi. I'm from Minnesota, and I really like you to be my sponsor, and would you, and blah, 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 blah. And she turned to me, and she said, okay. She goes, I'm going through a chemo treatment. We have to wait about 3 weeks. And then I'm like, oh, my God, I'm asking you guys to help me. And she said, you know, send me your history, whatever. And she's from Bronx, all right? So, you know, here in Midwest, maybe. And asking this high-powered woman. So she goes, does her duty, comes back, and whatever. And I came back and said, oh, my gosh, I have a sponsor. And no one says that. Oh, and then she's like, call me, you know. So I call her. Oh, and I said, we only need to talk once a month. You know, I'm telling her how I want to be sponsored. Isn't that work really well? And anyway, so she goes through chemo or whatever, and I call her, and, you know, a long conversation, I think, was 5 minutes. And average conversation was like 2. So anyway, I said my piece, and thank you, blah, 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 blah. And she goes, okay, same time tomorrow. I'm like, oh, you didn't sign up for this. So I said, okay, because she was the kind of person that just put enough fear in me that it's like, well, I'm not gonna challenge that one. Even though she's probably this tall and, you know, big around as a pencil. So lots of years of recovery. So anyway, time goes on and I said, you know, I can tell I'm getting better. She said, oh yeah. I said, I don't resent people as much anymore. She said, oh, well, who do you resent now? And it was so fast, you know, I just fell right into that trap. I mean, I think I saw it and I just stopped. So I said, well, my one boss, he goes, great. She goes, you're going to do a resentment letter. I said, a resentment letter? She goes, yeah, yeah. Haven't you ever heard of one? No, I haven't. I said, hasn't made it to the Midwest. And so anyway, she said, well, you've heard of resentment prayer. And I said, oh, yeah, yeah. She goes, well, this is better. She goes, you're going to write a letter every single day. Dear so-and-so, I wish everything wonderful for you, far better than you or me or higher powers could ever think for your life. And then I pray and wish for you for this and even more. And then I list everything I want for myself, okay? Just like the resentment prayer. So I flubbed up the first few times because she's like, no. You're praying what you think they want. She goes, you don't know what they want. She said, you barely know what you want. So write down what you want. So I started over. The key was I had to write 14 days in a row. And if I missed a day, I had to start over my paperwork. So the first one I did great. And I thought, you know, she goes, okay, who else? So I had another boss who really wasn't that bad, really. But I started writing this letter, resentment letter. And I was at Minnesota State Convention. And I was with my roommate, and we were yakking away and turned off the lights. It's Saturday night. And all of a sudden I realized, oh, crap. I forgot to do the night before, which would have been day 15. So I thought, well, what do you do? Start on Monday. So, of course, I tell my sponsor, and she says, oh, nice diet mentality. Why didn't you turn off the diet mentality? I'm going to start on Monday. Why didn't you flip that light on and start right that minute? Okay, I got the message. Well, in fact, I should say I flubbed up. It took me 5 times for the one boss I supposedly didn't have a big resentment on. But this is something I want you to think about. If you have something, especially someone who you would rather meet in a dark alley in your sniper suit and take them out and try that for 14 days. And this is the size I do. You know those junior legal pads? You know, that are half size, front and back. And if I don't get any points for penmanship or spelling. And I just scribble through. And it's a list. It's a bulleted list. This is what I want. And I do this. And I date it for every day. And I put 1, 2, 3, so I know it's 14. And I do it first thing in the morning because I do not want to be in that bed on day 14 and miss 13. Because she is no longer with us. She's in OA heaven. But she's there. You're like, Meg? I got it. So these are the things I want you to think about that you've released, that you've shattered, that you've surrendered. What has inspired you? What do you reflect upon? All of who you are, that all exists no matter where you are in these rooms today. If you're absent for the last 2 minutes or the last 40 years. Anybody have any questions? So, yes?
Do we need to share our answers with other people, or is this private?
Whatever you want. So you can write your private one, and if you have a couple ones you don't mind sharing with the group, and it'll be a small group. Again, it's only if you want to. If you want to just sit with your group and listen to what others have to say, that's okay. Again, I want this to be safe. I don't want you to feel that you have to do something. So it is, 10 after 10? I would like you here at 11:15. So you will just go forth, right? I want you to spend some time to reflect. If you go out and sit near the water or whatever, just at 11:15, I want you back in this room sharp, please. I want you to write directly on the cards. Yep, they're all yours. Yes. You don't have to. That's not important. Not important.